Okay, so the passage this morning that the Dean so beautifully read was from James. James is in the New Testament of the Bible, and we most likely think it was written by James, who is a half-brother of Jesus, and he was one of the early church leaders. And this particular book, it was written to the early Christians, Christian house churches, around 7 to 12 years after Jesus died and he rose again. And James wrote this letter to challenge Christians. So just like it was written to challenge them back then, I think it's pretty challenging now, today. So it was written to challenge the believers of the time. It was the first Christian community ever. It's quite hard to wrap your head around that. Like the first Christians ever in history that this letter was written to. That Christian community, they did fall on some hard times, but James was a real pillar. He was such a strong leader in the church. Maybe a bit like Pope Francis, or maybe a bit like Grant Sandercock Brown. I know you're listening, Grant. And James was also a peacemaker, and he led with wisdom and courage until he was tragically murdered, but that's another sermon later on. This book, it's a summary of James. It's pretty much a summary of the whole book, this passage that we read. And it's a lot of wisdom to followers of Jesus. And James is a sharpshooter. I don't know if you noticed that and you picked it up. He just like cuts straight to the point. If it was an Australian or a British person, James would be much more like an Australian. He just gets straight to the point and it's like a pretty hard hit each time. He was heavily influenced by Jesus' teachings, and especially the Sermon on the Mount. And he also looked a lot at the book of Proverbs, and he weaves that in between the book of James. So his one-liners of wisdom. The passage that we heard begins with, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Isn't that a great life lesson?
Please.
I think I could almost stop there and just repeat that. Yeah. And then I could pray and walk away. It's such a great line. And I think we could never get enough out of that line. So I think we just need to breathe that in. And yeah, I feel like we're never quick to listen, are we? We're quick to talk, most of us, I would say. We're quick to talk. We're quick to share our own opinion. We want other people to listen to what we want to say. We just want to tell our own story. I remember I did a communication course some years back, and there was an example of when somebody shares you joy. So if somebody shares you good news, how do you respond? And there was four different examples, and one was called a joy killer. And the joy killer was the person who's really negative, like the negative Nancy in your life. And I think we know a negative Nancy, where they're always quick to put it down, whatever good things are in your life. We know people like that. But then another one is called a conversation hijacker. Maybe we are hijackers sometimes, but we also know of conversation hijackers. And that Big Bang Theory is just like that. Sheldon's busting to tell his story. I don't know if anyone in here understood a word he was saying. But everyone just wants to talk over the top of him. Nobody wants to listen to what he's saying. He has to say, but we just want to talk over the top. So the Bible tells us, or James tells us, to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Even on Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, we're always quick to share our own opinion. I'm a little bit old, so I'm not on Twitter, but I am on Facebook. And I had a look last night. I have 919 friends, and I thought, I don't even know half of those people that I'm friends with on Facebook. But we just want to share our opinion, don't we? We just shoot out what we think. And of course, our opinion is very balanced. We've really well researched what our opinion is, haven't we? We're very respectful of others when we share on Facebook, or we shout it out to the universe. But we just want people to hear us and what we have to say. And then do we look back, how many likes do we have? How many people have put a love heart? How many people are listening to what we have to say? But instead of being quick to speak, we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Or maybe we're a bit like the Friends clip, and are we listening? What does it really mean to listen? To be quick to listen. And if I'm to look at you all this morning, how do I know that you're listening?
Your eyes.
It could be your eyes, maybe. What would you have to do to show me that you're listening? I remember a few times, it was at another church, it wasn't this church, when I was listening to the sermon and I was actually writing my shopping list and writing a to-do list, and I thought, you know what, nobody's going to know, and I'm actually going to look engaged, I'm going to look so like I'm listening actively because I'm writing and taking notes of the sermon right now, but really I was just writing what I needed to get at the supermarket later on. So we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Just to backtrack a little, I know we've started at verse 18, but just to give us a little bit of an anchor point. In verse 18, the verse just before this passage, James writes, "He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all he created." That's pretty much saying like we are born again and Jesus comes to live inside us. All of the writers in the New Testament talk about this. It doesn't matter which writer it is. When we become followers of Jesus or Christians, the Word of God lives inside of us. It's living. And some people call that born again, but he's given us new life, and that is life with him. Verse 18, it talks about this new birth. And looking around today, maybe some of us are new, maybe some of us have been here a long time ago, maybe some of us are still new on our journey, or we're still thinking about what that journey might look like. It's hard to know how we've changed. I know you might know a lot of people here, you've seen that change in their life, which is really, really beautiful. But before we became a Christian, or before we became a follower of Jesus, the Bible was just information. It was just very one-dimensional. But then afterwards, it's like food. It's like air. Because we're made of it. It lives inside of us. And we can relate to it. It's the same way that a hungry person relates to food, or a suffocating person relates to air, or a thirsty person relates to water. It's not just intellectual anymore. Have you ever been really, really thirsty? Even talking now, saying the word, I'm a little bit thirsty. Yeah. And when you take that drink of water, it's not really a sip, like you literally gulp it down, don't you, when you're really thirsty. And then afterwards you don't say, that was interesting. You're like, oh, I needed that. I needed that. It was like life, wasn't it? Because you've been made of the word. It's living in you and you've been born of it. You can put a scripture text on your heart and you can think on it. You can meditate on it. But no matter how cold your heart is, it will begin to melt your heart. But beforehand, it was still that one-dimensional. I heard of a philosopher from Princeton University in the US, and this was some time back, and he's called Emile Callet, extremely intellectual person. And he shared this story, and he said when he was young and he was not a believer, he thought he would create a book that understood him. So he was a wide reader. And every time he read a passage that like, oh, hit him in the heart and thought, oh, that's me. That's just what I need to hear right now. Oh, that really understands me. Then he'd write it down. And he thought he's going to create a book, his own book. And he wanted to create this book that understood him. And he thought, when I pick up that book, I'm just going to weep through that whole book, and it's going to speak to me about where I am and who I am right at that moment and what I am. So we worked on this for about a year. Every time you read something and be like, oh, that's me, that's speaking to me right now, you'd write it down, put it in this book, write it down, put it in this book. And after about a year, he thought he'd have a little read of that book. So he sat down under a tree. He obviously had these high expectations. And nothing happened. And it didn't speak to him. And he thought about it at the time, and he couldn't answer why. But then later on, he gave his life to Jesus. And he thought about it then, and he thought, you know what? That book was not alive. But the Bible is alive and lives in me. So now when I read the Bible, I'm constantly changing, and the Bible is constantly speaking to him, speaking to me. But that book doesn't change. That book that he wrote doesn't move. It was back here where he had moved along here. So the Bible is alive. And it understands him and it understands us. The same word that is in you is dwelling in the Bible. So the audience at the time that James was speaking to, they were Jewish Christians. And they would have had the word of God read to them. They wouldn't be reading it themselves. They'd be sitting and listening to the scripture. And they'll be, thinking about it. So James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This echoes a proverb from Proverbs 17:28 that says, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. We should be slow to become angry. Now, I'm not going to talk about anger. I could talk about anger, but that's not the message of this sermon. But what is God's advice? And what does James say here? He doesn't say, instead of being angry, be peaceful. He doesn't say, be kind. And he doesn't say, just stop being angry. He says to come to the word with humility. And this is an echo again from Proverbs, where in Proverbs 29:22-23, it says, an angry person causes trouble. A person with a quick temper sins a lot. Pride will ruin people, but those who are humble will be honored. It's this upside down world that Jesus always talks about. Instead of being angry and proud, be humble. He's asking us to get rid of that know-it-all, proud, controlling, angry spirit that we have, and to humbly accept that word that's been planted inside you. It's the one thing that's been planted in you, but we have to accept it and humbly accept it. So I thought let's linger a little bit about what does being humble really mean. Or what are the characteristics of humility? They're all beautiful responses. And so I did a lot of research, and I'm just going to try to narrow down some of that, but I think you've captured some of the gist. Was one was to be very self-aware and to know not only your strengths but also your limitations when you're being humble. But being willing to learn new things, definitely thinking of others, showing empathy and genuinely caring about other people, being very respectful of others, regardless of their background or their status, and showing gratitude and appreciating the blessings and opportunities in other people's lives and expressing thanks sincerely. We could go on. Selflessness, being forgiving, reflective. But as James said, the word is in us. He's planted it in us. And when we read it with humility, so we need to read the word when we're self-aware, knowing our strengths, but also knowing our weaknesses when we come to the Word. We should be coming to the Word willing to learn, not being arrogant, not thinking that we know everything, willing to learn something new, asking questions, pondering on it, dwelling on it, wanting to learn something new, coming to the Word with empathy, with compassion, thinking of others, showing respect when we're coming to the Word, and gratitude and gratefulness. So how do we read God's Word? I was really challenged when I was preparing for this. How do we read the Word? Do we have a Bible app that we follow on our phone? They're all fantastic things. Do we have a little devotional reading that we do each day? I know I've had a tough winter for devotion readings where I was following a daily devotion on my phone. That's always asking for trouble when it's winter, a bit too cold, and gonna lie in bed. Do my devotion while I'm lying in bed. I was definitely not reading the Word with humility and coming to the Word with humility. Are we just going through the motions when we're reading? A bit like that Friends clip. We can hear the Word while Ross is talking, but we're not really listening to it, are we? Where our mind is going off and thinking about something else, waiting for it to stop. Again, James could just stop there, and that's a pretty good slap in the face. How are we coming to the Word? But he doesn't stop there, and he pushes us even further and gives us an even bigger challenge. He says to humbly come to the Word, to breathe it in like life, humbly breathe it in. But then he throws the second punch. And straight after that, James says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. It's more than just reading the Bible. It's more than coming along to church and listening to a good sermon. The big theme of the book of James is let's stop talking. Slow down. Listen to the Word of God and act on what it says. There's a Francis Chan sermon. I don't know if you've heard of him. It's really good. And I listened to a sermon that he said on this particular passage, and he said, Satan is thrilled when people pack out churches and hear the Word of God and then leave and accomplish nothing. They're doing Satan's job for him. He's a little bit of a James and a bit of a slap in the face. And there's this beautiful quote from Screwtape Letters. I don't know if you've ever heard of Screwtape Letters. It's written by C.S. Lewis. And this is actually 31 letters. It's fictional. And it's written from the point of view of a very experienced devil who has a little apprentice. And he's training up somebody called Wormwood, an apprentice, on how to make sure humans don't follow Jesus. And he says this, as long as man does not convert it into action, it does not matter how much he thinks about his new repentance. Wallow in it, write a book about it. That is often an excellent way of sterilizing the seeds which the Heavenly Father plants in a human soul. Do anything but act. No amount of hate in his imagination and affections will harm the cause of evil if it is kept out of his will. The more often he feels without acting, the less he will ever be able to act. And in the long run, the less he will be able to feel. That last bit that says, the more often he feels without acting, the less he will be able to act. And in the long run, the less he'll be able to feel. I thought that was quite a strong message. So in verse 23, James says, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. Here's my mirror. Sorry, my. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. It's like you look in the mirror. And then you've forgotten what you look like. Why do we ever use a mirror? What's the purpose of a mirror?
Checking yourself out.
That's right. Oh, have I got a pimple? I do. What should I do with that today? I don't know. Oh, there's something in my teeth. Maybe I should pick that out. So we see something that we feel doesn't look quite right, and then we change it. I often get in trouble off Daniel for not noticing things about him. And he'd be like, it was right there. Why didn't you say something? So we need to fix ourselves up. We need to look in the mirror. The Word is like the mirror. It's like the Word of God. And when we look into the mirror, or when we read the Word of God, or listen to a sermon, it's like looking into that mirror. But then what do we do with what we're looking at? What do we do with that? Do we just walk away? And then do we forget about it? Or do we change something? This is our spiritual mirror, the Word of God. And when we look into it with that love, that humility, respect, wanting to learn, then we want to apply what we have learned. We change something about ourselves. We might change our view about something. We might change how we talk, change how we listen, or change how we view other people. In verse 25, James says, "Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Now, James is talking here about the greatest commandment in the law, which is to love your neighbor as yourself and to love the God with all your heart and all your mind and all yourself. When I was reading this passage, I was also thinking about Mr. Rogers. For those who came for the movie night, do you remember that beautiful movie? It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And I thought, Mr. Rogers, he really came humbly to the Word of God. And he definitely acted on that word. He had a lot of respect and love for God and others. He lived his life with an attitude of gratefulness, and he would act on that. It was like he was breathing in the Word, and as he breathed out his actions, it was a response, a divinely inspired response. I've been challenged today to slow down, not to listen to my voice, and not to make it about myself, to humbly come to the Word of God with respect, love, gratitude, and be willing to learn. I want to humbly breathe in God's word and to live it out. I want to respond and act on what I read. I want it to change me, to challenge me. I don't want to keep asking questions and to think more. So as a body of Christ together, as Nambucca River Church and St. Mary's and Waller Street, may we yearn to come to the Word of God with respect, love, and gratitude. Let us be willing to learn, to breathe it in, and to live it out.